Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And I'm having some real good Szechuan chicken right now. Actually, I'm in the chow mein, but the Szechuan chicken's coming up. This is hitting the spot. I don't know, there is a time and a place for a good, hot, searingly hot meal where the skin on the roof of your mouth begins to dangle, begins just to peel off and hang there in your mouth. This is the meal here from the guys at Chopsticks down the street. Gee, the guy's restaurant's called Chopsticks. First time he brought me a meal, it was with a plastic fork. I said, what's up with that? This is great. We often get questions from a lot of people saying, how do you do, and you longtime listeners of the Phil Henry Show, those of you who are really into this show and you know what it is that we do, you'll be interested in this. We get a lot of people who constantly ask us, how do you keep going with that show, man? We would have thought, Henry, you'd have to hang that show up 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I've been doing this show for 10 years. We've been national since October. And people always ask, how is it there are so many different kinds of callers to your show? And I always reply the same way. You know that thing in the back of adult porn magazines, that pump that guys are supposed to use on themselves? Do you know that that thing was discredited 30 years ago and yet they're still selling it? That penis pump thing? 30 years ago, the guy proved it isn't for real. There's no way that thing can have any effect. And guys are still buying it. They're still buying it. It's still in their closet at home. And when they do come home with the young lady of their choice, they're saying, excuse me for a minute. I have to go, feed my dog. And they're in the bathroom furiously pumping. Oh, please, God, I know it'll work this time. I mean, what's the secret? God, Phil, you are amazing. The stuff you do. And there are so many idiots in the world, yada, yada, yada. Hey, dude, the penis pump. 30 years they've been selling that sucker, and they're still selling out. They still can't keep it in stock. Completely medically discredited. Cannot, will not enhance or increase the size of anything. Your nose, stick it on your nose. Stick it on your lips. You know, when you were a kid, you had a Coke bottle. Did you ever suck your lips into a Coke bottle like that commercial where the kid sucks himself into the bottle? You do the same thing with stick a Coke bottle on your thing, man. See if that makes it any bigger. Ain't going to do it, okay? Forget it. I talked to a doctor, by the way, a urologist. It was when I was having my vasectomy. Now, this is a very noted urologist. He is a very, very professionally respected guy here in Southern California. He said this entire canard, this cottage industry, this so-called penis enlargement wave that some guys are buying into is complete galoot, man. It is balderdash. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, you can inject fat. You can do all kinds of silly things like that. You can't make it longer. And what some doctors do, and this is a little bit of a flim-flam, is there is a muscle, there's a tendon that causes things to sort of stand up, and they will cut that tendon so it'll sort of droop down a little bit so as to achieve the look of longer and heavier, quote-unquote. And some clowns are going in and having the surgery done, thinking that they're getting it. Hey, man, yeah, it's... And all the guy's doing is he's clipping this tendon. It's a malpractice is what it is. So now these guys, they're falling for the same shuffle that the women fell for with the breast enlargement, that breast enlargement cream. You remember that? I say, do you remember that? There isn't a man alive who wasn't stealing his mom's Cosmopolitans, hoping, praying. There's got to be a good picture in here somewhere. And then you'd read those ads in the back, breast enhancement cream. Rub it on, and in the morning, man, you'll float all the way to China. In the morning, you won't be able to see anybody. They'll just... Thigh cream. It'll just waste your thigh away when you put that thigh cream on. They still sell it. They still sell it. But the penis pump, that's got to be the all-time. So when you're asking me, well, how is it that, oh, my God, the thing that shocks me and amazes me that so many people ask me that question, that's what's shocking and amazing, that so many people ask me this question, how do you get so many stupid people, it's shocking that you have to ask that. When were you, are you people, you know, you're all grown adults. Come on, you're in the world. You see the human race. They're buying thigh cream. Pumps for the private. Breast enhancement cream. Flab reducing rubber girdles. Poor, poor people. They're, when you're desperate about your looks and your self-image, I guess we're willing to believe anything. We'll go to any length, won't we? And it's a very sad thing because when, you know, there's a certain part of your mind that just stops working. When it comes to your looks, your self-image, how you see yourself, there's just a certain part of our brain that just shuts down. And we'll be standing there, man, waiting for anybody who comes along, stick the hook in our mouth on this stuff. I mean, I spent 5 minutes. By the way, in a moment, we're going to talk a little bit about guns because there's been some serious, serious stuff in the news. But I'm standing here with the guys during the news break talking about this after we had that guy on. And, you know, they were talking about, well, that pump. I said, how do you guys know about it? Because Craig Taylor, Mike Schaefer, these guys are in their 20s, okay? So I'm a good 20 years older than both of them. And they still got those ads, you know, because I don't read those magazines anymore for obvious reasons. I'm a married man, and these two guys are still degenerates. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, Jesus, they had them 20 years ago, for crying out loud. Well, yeah, that pump thing. Mike's married, but he's still reading the magazines. So I didn't ask either one of these guys, had they ever bought one? And the advertisement for those things, they generally will have some noted adult film star, some adult male film star. And he will obviously be standing there with this thing hitting the floor, and I'm going to look like that after I use the pump. Okay, I'm going to go buy it then, obviously. Of course, even if these guys had purchased the pump, are they going to say yes? Well, I would hope you could be honest with me about it. Now, Schaefer is asking me this question, and maybe we can get some votes on this. Does it count if you bought it but returned it? Okay, Schaefer, no, it doesn't, man. Who'd you buy it from? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We were talking during the news break about the many incidences of unfortunate incidences of deaths following the misuse of handguns, long rifles, shotguns. The tragedy of gun death in America is constantly spoken of, constantly reported, constantly talked about. People are always debating this. And most recently now, the very disturbing news that a 7-year-old child shot a 6-year-old child at a school with a handgun. And the thing that upsets me probably more than anything else is, with all of these gun deaths, with the Columbines, with the shootings, random though they may be, nobody ever talks about how much fun you can have with a gun. And just the stuff you do with your dad, stuff that, like Mike Schaefer was telling me, he used to stick a can of chili in a motorcycle helmet and stick it on a fence and shoot it with a .44 Magnum. Shoot it with a .44 Magnum. So anyway, you know, there is a lot of stuff you can... Now, I don't know anything about guns, but I'll tell you, I saw Dirty Harry. And that .44 Magnum bit, that most powerful handgun in the world, man, that's impressive. Now, you had to hold it with two hands. Dirty Harry shot that thing with one hand. Well, when you look at that guy pumping off rounds in those movies, you're saying to yourself, now, that's fun. There's crap going on that you can have some fun with, but nobody talks about fun with guns, and you can have fun with them if you're shooting motorcycle helmets with cans of chili sitting inside of them. Or if you take a friend's old motorcycle out to the desert or someplace where it's far away and there's no, you know, there's no people around, and shoot it until you hit just the right spot in the gas tank and it blows up. Was the thing, were you shooting at his motorcycle, was there gasoline in the gas tank? Even the fumes, of course, can ignite. But no one ever talks about just the damn good fun you can have with a gun. You know, they go off by mistake, guy gets shot. Let me ask you a question, Craig, Mike, what do you think of this? If a guy gets shot in the ass, is that funny or tragic? Question, if a guy gets shot in the ass, is it funny or tragic? Now, I've heard it tragic, funny. Well, I've heard a couple of stories. One is rather amusing. There was an Irish gang in New York supposedly called the Westies. And again, supposedly or allegedly, they were contracted with by the so-called Italian mob, La Cosa Nostra, known by some, to hit or take out or whack somebody, as the phraseology goes. And these Westies, these are Irish, working for Italians. So right away, you know, things aren't going to be going too good. Not that there's anything wrong with the Italians. The Irish are the stupid ones. I can say that because I are one. So these dumbass Irish, the Italians say, we're going to whack this like he was a union boss or something. So these dumbass Irish, they shoot the guy in the ass. And then they ran out of there. They ran into a building where this guy was, fired like two shots into the guy's ass, and then ran away. What did you do? Says the Italian boss to the Irish, these dumb mix. We shot him. What'd you do? You shot him in the ass. Well, yeah, he said that we should shoot him and... Well, that's not whacking him, shooting him in the ass.
I don't know. I did what I thought.
See, shooting a guy in the ass is funny. If you have it on video, you can watch it over and over and over again. Now, that's one I'd like to see Bob Saget have the guts, finally, because he's a tremendous talent, an incredible talent. What Bob Saget simply needs is the guts to show someone getting shot in the ass on his show, even if it's set up. We don't care. Maybe Bob will do the honors for us. Maybe Bob will bend over and someone will take a couple of shots with a .44 Magnum up the old keister, right up the old Royal Alley. If he had any balls at all, he'd show someone getting shot right in the Royal American on his show. Did you ever see Pulp Fiction? Remember when that guy got it with a double-barrel shotgun right there in the old Royal American? Remember that? Was that funny or what? It was hysterical. I was in the aisle. It was a... Oh, come on. What do you mean it was gross? It was a riot! It's a redneck. He had it coming. So you used to go out there, Mike, I know, and Craig, with your old man, and you guys, what, double-barrel shotgun with the two triggers side by side? My old man, and this is legendary in my family, my father took a pistol off of a German prisoner of war, and it was a little pistol... And on the gun grip was the word fag. And it turns out that that is a German gun manufacturer. They made these guns in Germany. It was a small caliber weapon that he took off of this officer, German officer. And we had this thing, I guess you could say, we had a fag in our family for some 40 whatever years, however many years it was before my father finally, kicked the bucket. 42 years. But that was the gun that we had, and that was the one that he used sometimes to teach us to shoot. He also had a big rifle. I don't have the gun. I think my sisters have got it. I don't have it. I ought to bring it in. We ought to auction it off on the show. I bet you'd bring some very nice change. There's no doubt about it. Somebody's got it. My brother or my sisters have got the fag gun. I don't know. And that is the... And FAG stood for something. Some gun works, some metal works, some gunsmith in Germany. FAG was the German abbreviation, if you will, of the, you think my friend's place is going to, yeah, that's it. We'll auction off the fag gun and give the money to my friend's place. FAG stood for something in German. I don't know what it was, but my dad always got a big kick out of showing me that gun because my father, old school that he was, while a fair man, probably had a little bit of homophobia. So for him, it was really like, hey, look at it, hey, look at it, fag. Take a look at this, huh? You see this? Hey, Philip, come here. What, Dad? Oh, yeah, the fag gun. I've seen it. Yeah, you showed the fag gun? Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that a riot? How about that? Fag. Ha, ha, ha. So then he had a big rifle, but we'd go out and we'd, you know, practice shooting with these things, tin cans, crap like that. Although I didn't get to use it, you know, my father made me shoot a pellet gun. You know, my brother, he got, but I had to shoot this pellet, this air pistol that we had. Good looking gun, but it was shooting little pellets. So it wasn't like a real thing. I mean, it didn't feel like a real. It felt when I was about five, it felt. But by the time I was 26, I'm like, do I still got it? Yeah, use it. Go ahead. Either that's the fag gun. Shooting a little pellet gun there, you know, and setting up cans on a boulder and stuff. I said, Dad, when do we get to, like, go skeet shooting it? No, you know, how about the fag gun? Skeet shooting's a gas. You ever done that? I did that in Minnesota. That is a blast. That's just a straight blast. And you know what? Nobody gets hurt. Just a freaking dish. And you want to talk about some skill. Not that I was any good at it. I did it just a couple of times. I sucked. But the ones that are good, it's great. They, you know, you yell pull, they launch this freaking clay dish up in the air, and you're blasting the thing. And they judge you on time, they judge you on speed and accuracy, all of this stuff, and it's great. You get to hit a clay freaking dish, you ought to be able to hit a bird on the wing, or one in the hand, or whatever, however the hell it goes. You can sure as hell have a good time. What am I talking about, gun? Oh, yeah, fun with guns. I'm sorry. Well, I just like to remind you, you can have a little fun with guns. And World War II was the most fun we had with guns that I could possibly imagine. Oh, come on. I just got done with my Wyatt Earp biography, which I'm going to be giving to Mike Schaefer. That guy carried a bunt line. A bunt line 45. Big, long barrel on that thing. And I don't think he ever hit anybody with it. I don't think Wyatt Earp could hit the broadside of a barn. He just scared a lot of people with his big-ass mustache and just strutting around and Doc Holliday standing there like some, you know, kind of quasi-gay dentist. And Doc Holliday would be standing there swaggering around with a little opium pipe and he had a big sawed-off shotgun. That's what scared the crap out of everybody. What was standing behind Wyatt? It wasn't him. Fun with guns. Once a week, right here on the Phil Henry Show, we're going to have more of that stuff for you coming up, as a matter of fact. 1-800-449-8686 is our number, 1-800-449-8686, or visit us at philhenry.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Well, that's Phil. I forget. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. PhilHenryShow.com is our website, and you can pick up the best of the Phil Henry Show CD there. It's $23.50. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We've sold $94,000 worth of compact discs, $94,000 worth of the best of Phil Henry Show CD. We're still waiting to hit that $100,000 mark. It's slow going, because that's the only place where we sell it. We sell it online. We don't have it in store anywhere. We don't have it available via an 800 number. So the only way you can get it is through the internet. And, you know, not everybody has a computer. I mean, let's face it. You talk about an incestuous world. The world of the internet and those who love it, man, is still a relatively small universe. And you can get yourself thinking that the whole ding-dang planet is plugged in, man. That's just not the case. Because I got people calling up and saying, how am I going to get a hold of that CD? I said, you can get it online. I haven't got a computer. Do you understand I don't have a computer? Well, how do you get your email? I don't have email. I get regular mail. I don't need email. You know, the bane of my existence has been email. God, why? Why did I ever buy one of those things? Email. Well, what do they say? They don't want to give their credit card number out over the phone. They don't want to give their credit card number out over the phone. Okay. It's the internet. You're always giving your credit card number. Well, over the internet. Yeah, they don't want to give their credit card. You're always doing that. Don't you shop online for Christmas and stuff? It's a secured server. I've been shopping online for, I don't know, 3 years. And, you know, occasionally I get a bill for like $100,000. But I tell them it's all a big mistake. But email and the computer in and of itself, I think is a wonderful, the internet's a wonderful thing because I can use it like a library and it's a great research tool. But to get involved in the culture of the internet is a sick, in my opinion, a real, you know, you get a big load of life, man. And the email that I get from people, meaningless crap that comes over the my end of the receiving end of the computer. I'm the poor bastard that's getting this stuff. And occasionally I'll send out a little missive myself, you know, a couple of jokes. I'm kidding. I don't do that. But I got a friend, and I won't say who. I'm getting jokes every day. This sending jokes has got to stop. It ought to be a federal offense. It ought to be a federal. Seriously, you ought to be arrested and put in Leavenworth for sending jokes via the email. Chat rooms, meeting people online, getting into these singles groups. Don't you understand that what you people are learning now is something known to every disc jockey for the last 50 years? All of a sudden, people are figuring this stuff out now, Mike. When I first got into radio, 1973, I picked up a request line, and there was this chick on the other end, and she's going, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, I'm good. I'm 19 years old. I can't believe my luck. I can't believe my fortune. All I got to do is pick up the phone." I spent my whole high school years, everything. Now I'm a disc jockey. I'm working in Winter Park, Florida.
How you do?
"Oh, I'm doing good, baby. How are you?"
"Real good."
"Yeah. What can I do for you? Play you a song?"
"I like to hear that Delta Dawn by Helen Reddy. What you look like? I sit near my girlfriend. What do you look like?"
"Well, I'm tall, strapping, lots of curly chest hair, big, fat, hanging, you know, whatever. I'm German." So that was nice. And then she said, "Well, you know, I work up here at..." And my tip-off should have been, she worked at some country western steak place. Now, with all due respect, the only women who work in a place like that, you know, we're talking about 14... Take out a couple of more feet, and we maybe get them through the door. You know, in other words, they're girls that play a lot of baseball. They've got men in their lives who appreciate somebody can bench press a Volkswagen. There's something there. Heifer, I don't want to get up into that rarefied air, but yeah. "I work up at the steer corral.
I work up at the steer corral up here in, you know,
Apopka or some equally romantic sounding place." So I said, "Oh, well, that's great.
The Steak and Stein, right at the corner of John Young Parkway and 1792.
The Beef and Barrel, all of those Ann places that were very rampant in the 70s. Steak and Ale, Beef and Barrel, Steak and Stein, Stick It Up. Steak and Ass, Stick It Up, all of those. Steak and Ass. How about Ass and Ale? That'd be a good place. Yeah, well, why don't we just get right down to it, okay? Ass and Ale. Come on in. Because I ain't interested in eating steak. All right, so I go up to this place, this Steer Burger, and I sit down, and there I am. It's after my show. I used to work late night, you know, 3 a.m. or some bull crap, and I'm walking in there. And I sit down, I says, "Can you tell me, because I can see it's a redneck country joint, you know, and it's just a lot of guys in those big wide brand." I'm watching hats moving across the floor and maybe a little tiny guy underneath it and all that. And one of the waitresses, and they're wearing these brown dresses and aprons and their hair up. And I said, "Can you show me where Diane is?" And she says, "You see that shadow coming out of the kitchen area?" I said, "Yeah, that's hers. And she'll be following right along." And I said, "Holy geez." And the shadow came out and then, you know, yeah, lots of sawdust on the floor, which was immediately taken off of the floor as soon as Diane made her entrance. It just got sucked right up just as she walked along, just kind of like, you know the way trucks are in a freeway when they go by and everything, all the wind whips? Yeah, that's exactly. She comes walking out of the kitchen and all the sawdust was whipping up behind her. Like a vacuum, yeah. And she was, okay, I don't want to be cruel, but let's just say she wasn't my type. It was pretty, oh boy. And I got out of there. I got into my car and I split. I'll never forget that night, too, because my windshield wipers weren't working. It was coming down rain. And I had to drive some 30 miles up to this place. I'm thinking, what is this? Why did I do this to myself? And why did I do it to her? I wasn't thinking of her. I fell for it again. About 6 months later, this girl, "What she look like?" and all this crap. And I said, okay, you know, I'm looking. She shows up at the radio station. She's 18,000 pounds, you know. This is something that you only could learn working at a radio station answering the request line. So it was a very specific experience and specific only to people doing that kind of work. Work in a radio station, a woman's listening to you, she's attracted to your voice, she picks up the phone, she starts playing games with you, and by the way, there's an article in Vanity Fair this month, you gotta read this, about some woman who called all these heavyweight movie executives for like 10 years. Her name was something like Madonna, I'm making it up, seriously, and they were taking her calls. A couple of these guys fell in love with her. She knew everything about these guys, and she knew all about the business, and she was talking to Richard Perry, the record producer. She was talking to Buck Henry, the writer. She was talking to directors, to actors. All of these guys who all wanted to meet her, and she wouldn't show up, and then maybe she would. Peter Wolf, the guy from J. Geils Band, he was going to meet her at a hotel in New Orleans. So finally, this poor guy, this Richard Perry, this movie producer, or this record producer, he falls head over heels in love with this mysterious woman that he's never met. He flies to New York. He finally goes into the hotel room. She's sitting on the edge of the bed. She's about 4,600 pounds and a big mole on her cheek. I read this and I said, Jesus, you should have been a disc jockey. Forget about producing freaking records, Jack. Sit out here and spin them and answer that request line. 30 years ago, I figured this out. And now all of a sudden with the internet, with all of the chat rooms and message boards and instant messaging and that kind of thing, everybody's sort of getting sucked into this world of illusion that if you're picking up a request line when you're a punk kid working at a radio station, you figure this thing out. People sound real good, man, when they're just talking on a phone. In fact, I bet you I sound real good right now to about, I don't know, maybe a third of the women listening. They probably think I've got a fairly masculine, sexy, you know, interesting guy. You ought to see the size of my... I'm kidding. You ought to see this. It's in Vanity Fair a couple months ago. You read that magazine? Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't a bad magazine. It's pretty good. Some good crap in there. But this article was unbelievable. She had these guys on the line. She's talking to them on the phone. She's calling them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, hey, how you doing, baby? I haven't talked to you in a while. I mean, there's some of the heaviest, most important guys in Hollywood. She's talking to these cats. This guy finally met her. She was a big, fat chick with a mole on her face. And he's like, he couldn't get out of there fast enough. That's the embarrassing part. When you're having this wonderful imaginary relationship and you're fantasizing about what the person looks like and, oh, my God, they're just the greatest thing since sliced bread and you're promising them things and you're going to meet them and you're going to do things together. And what do you look like? Oh, I got a nice ass and big this and everything. Moral, men are suckers. But even more so, the women are too. Because they buy this crap too. Because this two-way thing that's going on in these chat rooms now and whatever the hell it is these people do. What is it? Is it email? Chat and email? Now the women are getting suckered into thinking they got Prince Charming on the other end of the line, okay? You people, save yourselves the heartache. Losers communicate that way. You know, a real world relationship is when you're face to face with somebody, nose to nose, across the table, sharing a big fat schooner of beer. That's when you're going to get down and dirty and figure out who it is you're talking to. These imaginary telephone relationships, chat room relationships, email, I don't give a crap, and that Tom Hanks movie, and my wife tried to get me to see it, and she bought the soundtrack. It's in my car. It ain't bad. Your cousin met her husband online? Other than Craig Taylor's family, you're all real, you're kidding. She did? She met her husband online, huh? How long they been married?
2 years.
I got money that says he winds up in not one bag. He'll be in six different bags in the trunk of her car inside of a year. That took guts. That is not a real relationship. It worked out for them. But the sooner you get into a real relationship where you're actually looking at the human being and you're interacting like real human beings, the better off you're going to be. But this BS about, you know, back and forth, chat room, moving to another state. I mean, you've heard these stories. I'm not putting you down, but I'm saying you're discovering something well known to those of us in this business for many years, just picking up a request line. Boy, doesn't she sound foxy? Then you agree to meet her for a drink, and it's die, monster, die. It's just the way it is. Fortunately for them, I was good looking. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, look, we got a good call. Jacksonville, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
You talking to me?
Yeah, ma'am, I'm talking to you.
Okay, okay, hey, I listen to you every night. Love your show.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. It
and
just,
I
don't know,
too.
Just to hear that. Thank you. It means a lot. It just means a lot. It may be a little, you know, you might not mean it. You may be saying it to make me feel good, but it means a lot.
Okay.
Oh, man, thank God for that. Well, I can have a normal bowel movement now. Jesus. Anyway, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me something about you and your, some creepy situation you got involved in?
Oh, no.
That's what my producer says. Oh, really? All right.
Never me. No, I met this
Never me.
No, no. Lily White. No, I met this couple not too long ago, and they met on the Internet.
You met them, and they met on the Internet?
They met on the Internet.
What did they look like? Did they...
Well, you know...
A twitch? A facial twitch?
No, no, nothing like that, but...
Did he talk, and he never, you know, even though he wasn't saying anything, he was still showing his teeth like, you know, Lily and I met on the Internet. You know, the teeth always... Okay.
Now, she was the one that told me first. They had met in this religious chat room,
mm-hmm.
about it, and they had they talked to each other for about a year and a half. And I,
They met.
And they met.
And did they marry?
And they married.
Well, Taylor said the same thing. It's like, you know, it wasn't during my radio career when I was a disc jockey. Yeah, occasionally a couple of girls that you met on the request line, you'd invite them to the radio station, and they were pretty nice looking. And then you'd find out that there was a husband attached or something, and you were on the run for months after that. You were going from town to town.
Well, I asked this gal. we had met him at church.
Yeah?
And just decided to take up and talk to him, and we were walking along the beach, and she told me about it. And it was one of those moments that make you want to go, I asked her, I said, well, were you real disappointed when you met him? I mean, you know, because, I mean, I asked her, I said, I don't want to, you know, say anything embarrassing to you or rude to you, but how do you cut through the crap on a chat line?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand that. I wouldn't even chance it.
Well, what do you, you know, what do you look like?
Oh, God. Yeah, I weigh about 300 pounds.
Really?
And I'm only 5'2".
Oh, God.
You know, and heels don't
are you,
even help me.
Are you into coffee later on or something?
No, I can't. But I will tell you this.
Have you ever been out of bed? Tell me you've never been out of your bed, please. Tell me that you can't lift yourself out of bed. Please say.
I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
Oh.
And I have men that wait on me hand and foot.
Oh, man. So you can't lift. You're so large, you can't lift yourself.
No.
Tell me you've got bed sores.
Jerry Springer, but.
Tell me you have bed sores.
Bed sores?
Yeah.
No, because I have these men that come in and turn me over.
And turn. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
So these people had met in that. And Taylor, how long has your cousin's been married?
2 years.
2 years? I guess it happens.
Well, the only thing.
You know, a lot of stuff. You know, sunspots happen, okay? You know, we landed on the moon. That happened.
But now here's the other thing. I know a lady who has a kid who got involved with chat lines on the Internet and started swinging.
Started slinging?
Swinging.
The kid started swinging?
The kid started swinging.
Well, what do you mean? He started sleeping?
She started swinging.
She started sleeping with lots of different boys?
Yeah, they started meeting couples on the Internet.
Were these teen sex clubs?
No, they were a little older, kind of in their 20s. And they started just doing all kinds of things.
Well, I'm telling you right now, what you're telling me is anecdotal, which means, yeah, it happens. And it happened, you know,
after
20 years of... It's not anecdotal, but what I'm saying is, yes, it happens. You're going to meet some... We don't even know what anecdotal means, do we? But anyway, it happens that you're going to meet people who are interesting. But it's rare. Most of it is real creepy. And you've heard the stories over and over again. For every story you got to tell me about they got married, I got a story. The guy got off the plane and he looked at her and he thought it was Quasimodo. And he ran back on the plane and flew back after falling in love on the, you know, and promising their hearts to each other.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And the thing about it is, you know, I've been on the Internet before and been talking and had somebody...
When someone rolls you out of bed, right.
And asked me, hey, babe, what do you look like?
And you tell them that you've got bed sores, right.
And I always pretend to be a guy.
Perfect.
I love to get on the...
So why are they saying, hey, baby, where are you at? Well, who are the people saying, hey, baby, where you at then if you pretend you're a guy?
Well, I mean, you know, when I've been on for real, you know, like talking to my own daughter sometimes.
You pretend you're a guy.
I pretend I'm a guy.
Perfect.
Because, you know, hey, it's really great because if you can identify guys online and then you say things to them like a woman would like to say, like a man says sometimes.
Okay, I got to go now. Thanks for copping. Bye. I suddenly realized it on the air for about 5 minutes with her. I didn't know what the hell she was talking about anymore. That whole bed sores and 300 pounds, do you have somebody rolling you out of bed? Well, that's the truth. I mean, that's, you know, what you've encountered in your life. Maybe not with her. But she'll tell you that she's 5'2", eyes of blue. Man, she's just, she's all that. And she has people rolling her over so she doesn't get bed sores. That's the reality. Or there's some dwarfism or, you know. So you got to pick up this Vanity Fair. I'm telling you, this was a fantastic article. And I can't remember the name of the woman, Walton, I think. Whitney Walton. I hope there isn't a real Whitney Walton out there who had nothing to do with Bug and Billy Joel. That's another guy that she was. Billy Joel was into her. He was writing her songs, Mike. He was calling her voice messaging machine and singing into it. See, and this fat girl would go back to the Dairy Queen that she worked at and play these tapes for her friends. Here's a fat girl with a mole on her cheek going, Billy Joel called me last night. And they're going, bull crap. So she plays the tape, and there he is, big as life, singing. Because she'd get on the phone and call all these creeps. The guy who had the brains was this Buck Henry. He didn't buy it, and after a while he told her to get lost, so he started doing some investigation. He did a little background checking and found out that she was some woman who lived in Louisiana, and she worked at like a Popeye's Fried Chicken. And then at night she'd go home, shovel down a box of chicken, finish off what was left of Craig Kilborn, and then get bored and call up Buck Henry or Billy Joel. She'd shovel down a pint of ice cream, catch the rest of Jon Stewart, sit there picking her teeth, wondering what she's going to do next, and she'd go and she'd call the Prince of Wales or something and shuck and jive this guy for an hour and a half. Have this guy fall in love with her. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know which issue it is. It's a really interesting story. Okay, so she called me once. But just once, all right? And I didn't, we met. We had a cup of coffee. Yeah, she was fat. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry.